Chapter 9. Not most unhappily for the usefulness of the occasion, doubt that preachers being right about things not visible to human senses? Again, is it necessary or advisable to address such an audience continually as fellow sinners? Is it not enough to be fellow creatures, born yesterday, suffering, and striving today, dying tomorrow? By our common humanity, my brothers and sisters, by our common capacities for pain and pleasure, by our common laughter and our common tears, by our common aspiration to reach something better than ourselves, by our common tendency to believe in something good, and to invest whatever we love, or whatever we lose with some qualities that are superior to our own failings and weaknesses as we know them in our own poor hearts by these, hear me. Surely, it is enough to be fellow creatures. Surely, it includes the other designation, and some touching meanings over and above. Again, there was a personage introduced into the discourse, not an absolute novelty, to the best of my remembrance of my reading, who had been personally known to the preacher, and had been quite a Christian in all the ways of philosophy, but had been an infidel. Many a time had the preacher talked with him on that subject, and many a time had he failed to convince that intelligent man. But he fell ill, and died, and before he died he recorded his conversion in words which the preacher had taken down, my fellow sinners, and would read to you from this piece of paper. I must confess that to me, as one of an uninstructed audience, they did not appear particularly edifying. I thought their tone extremely selfish, and I thought they had a spiritual vanity in them which was of the before-mentioned refractory pauper's family. All slangs and twangs are objectionable everywhere, but the slang and twang of the conventicle as bad in its way as that of the House of Commons, and nothing worse can be said of it should be studiously avoided under such circumstances as I describe. The avoidance was not complete on this occasion. Nor was it quite agreeable to see the preacher addressing his pet points to his backers on the stage, as if appealing to those disciples to show him up, and testify to the multitude, that each of those points was a clincher. But, in respect of the large Christianity of his general tone, of his renunciation of all priestly authority, of his earnest and reiterated assurance to the people that the commonest among them could work out their own salvation if they would, by simply, lovingly, and dutifully following our Savior, and that they needed the mediation of no erring man, in these particulars, this gentleman deserved all praise. Nothing could be better than the spirit, or the plain emphatic words of his discourse in these respects. And it was a most significant and encouraging circumstance that, whenever he struck that chord, or whenever he described anything which Christ himself had done, the array of faces before him was very much more earnest, and very much more expressive of emotion, than at any other time. And now, I am brought to the fact, that the lowest part of the audience of the previous night, was not there. There is no doubt about it. There was no such thing in that building, that Sunday evening. I have been told since, that the lowest part of the audience of the Victoria Theatre has been attracted to its Sunday services. I have been very glad to hear it, but on this occasion of which I write, the lowest part of the usual audience of the Britannia Theatre, decidedly and unquestionably stayed away. When I first took my seat and looked at the house, my surprise at the change in its occupants was as great as my disappointment. To the most respectable class of the previous evening, was added a great number of respectable strangers attracted by curiosity, and drafts from the regular congregations of various chapels. It was impossible to fail in identifying the character of these last, and they were very numerous. I came out in a strong, slow tide of them setting from the boxes. Indeed, while the discourse was in progress, the respectable character of the auditory was so manifest in their appearance that when the minister addressed a supposititious outcast, apostrophe one really felt a little impatient of it, as a figure of speech not justified by anything the eye could discover. The time appointed for the conclusion of the proceedings was 8 o'clock. The address having lasted until full that time, and it being the custom to conclude with a hymn, the preacher intimated in a few sensible words that the clock had struck the hour, and that those who desired to go before the hymn was sung could go now, without giving offense. No one stirred. The hymn was then sung, in good time and tune and unison, and its effect was very striking. A comprehensive benevolent prayer dismissed the throng, and in 7 or 8 minutes there was nothing left in the theater but a light cloud of dust. That these Sunday meetings in theaters are good things, I do not doubt. Nor do I doubt that they will work lower and lower down in the social scale, if those who preside over them will be very careful on two heads. Firstly, not to disparage the places in which they speak, or the intelligence of their hearers. Secondly, not to set themselves in antagonism to the natural inborn desire of the mass of mankind to recreate themselves, and to be amused. There is a third head, taking precedence of all others, to which my remarks on the discourse I heard have tended. In the New Testament there is the most beautiful and affecting history conceivable by man, and there are the terse models for all prayer and for all preaching. As to the models, imitate them, Sunday preachers, else why are they there, consider? As to the history, tell it. Some people cannot read, some people will not read. Many people, this especially holds among the young and ignorant, find it hard to pursue the verse form in which the book is presented to them, and imagine that those breaks imply gaps and want of continuity. Help them over that first stumbling block by setting forth the history in narrative, with no fear of exhausting it. You will never preach so well, you will never move them so profoundly, you will never send them away with half so much to think of. Which is the better interest? Christ's choice of 12 poor men to help in those merciful wonders among the poor and rejected, or the pious bullying of a whole union full of paupers? What is your changed philosopher to wretched me, peeping in at the door out of the mud of the streets and of my life, when you have the widow's son to tell me about, the ruler's daughter, the other figure at the door, when the brother of the two sisters was dead, and one of the two ran to the mourner, crying, "The master is come, and calleth for thee." Let the preacher who will thoroughly forget himself, and remember no individuality but one, and no eloquence but one, stand up before 4,000 men and women at the Britannia Theater any Sunday night, recounting that narrative to them as fellow creatures, and he shall see a sight. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.